I wonder if I were to ask you some of the names of prayers to be found in the scriptures. Who would spring to mind first? Might it be Daniel praying in an alien culture, or Moses interceding in the wilderness for the people of God, or Elijah on Mount Carmel praying for a miracle that the altar will be lit and people will know that God is God, or maybe David asking for God's forgiveness in Psalm 51 after committing adultery and arranging a murder. Or perhaps it might be Jacob desperately praying for God's blessing by the ford Jabbok, having already had a dream at Bethel where God spoke to him profoundly. Or maybe for you it will be prayers of the New Testament that spring to mind. Here's just a few examples. Peter offering prayer on the street for a sick man for healing when he has no money to offer. Paul's prayer for the Ephesian church that begins by asking that they may have the spirit of wisdom and revelation. The early church praying for believers to be released from prison and then being astonished when Peter, rescued by a guardian angel, turns up on the doorstep the very same night. All types of prayer, all types of people. But maybe your thoughts turn to Jesus especially. Jesus praying in Gethsemane just before his crucifixion in John 17. Or at the beginning of his public ministry, straight after his baptism, when Jesus took time to get completely alone with God in the wilderness. And despite all of these, or maybe because of this biblical riches and prayer, this morning, because we're followers of Jesus, we're going to look specifically at his teachings to discover some of what it means to be rooted in prayer. And we're going to be particularly looking at his teaching from the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6. So you can be finding that in your Bibles as Lynn comes up to read the passage for us.
Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 15. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Well, leave that passage open because we'll be referring to it as we go along. And it's interesting that whenever we pray the Lord's Prayer, what we call the Lord's Prayer together in services of a Holy Communion, the official wording says this: as our Saviour has taught us, so we pray. And I like that because it's reminding us that this is Jesus' prayer. That this prayer that he teaches us comes out of a life of prayer. And when you're reading the Gospels, it's easy to overlook the many references that we have to Jesus praying. Mark 1:45. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Luke 5:16. Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Luke 6:12. Jesus went out on a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. Luke 9:29. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. John 17 in particular is the go-to place to eavesdrop on the prayer life of Jesus. John 17:1. After Jesus said this, he looked towards heaven and prayed, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you." John 17:15. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. John 17:20. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. So when it comes to prayer, Jesus practiced what he preached. Daily he was listening to what his heavenly Father wanted. He said in John 8:28, "I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him." The communication between Jesus and his heavenly Father was constant. Jesus was rooted in prayer. So Jesus is the one that we're coming to today to give us a true masterclass in what it means to be rooted in prayer. So let's look at our passage in Matthew 6 on page 970 in the Church Bibles. In this chapter, Jesus addresses the three major devotional spiritual practices of the day: almsgiving, prayer, and fasting. And we're here actually in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, which is a collection of Jesus' teaching that's all about lifestyle. And in chapter 6, verse 5, Jesus begins to speak about prayer, opening with, "When you pray." When you pray. So this is not an optional extra in life. He is expecting us to pray. And there are different aspects that we're going to look at in relation to this today. First of all, to note that this is a spiritual battle. Jesus himself prayed in John 17 that we will be kept from the evil one. But we'll see more about how this works out, pans out as we go along. So we're going to look first of all at what it means to be entering the gap, which we'll come back to in a minute, and to the place and presence of prayer, because actually that's where Jesus starts. Chapter 6, verse 6. When you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Jesus starts with place and presence. And at no point does Jesus suggest that this is easy. In fact, when it comes to prayer, the most difficult thing of all is, to quote the writer Henry Nouwen, showing up. I just loved it. This really academic theologian says, well, it's all about showing up at the end of the day. This is the first battle. If you've set aside time to pray, then it's astonishing how other activities suddenly seem more attractive or urgent, even the washing up. There is no such thing as simply showing up. Even before we begin, our enemy, the devil, wants to distract us. To quote C.S. Lewis from his letters, "The enemy will not see you vanish into God's company without an effort to reclaim you." The enemy will not see you vanish into God's company without an effort to reclaim you. Do you remember Jesus asking his disciples to watch and pray with him in Gethsemane? Well, they failed on that one, didn't they? It's a spiritual battle. When you pray, verse 6, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. I find it helpful in all of this to say, pray as you can, not as you can't. A lady I knew said that her closed door room was in the bathroom. It began when her children were small. It was the only place she could go to get away. And even when they left home, it was still her go-to place, shutting the bathroom door, soaking in the water while soaking in prayer. But it's a case of whatever you find helpful. Wherever is good for you, simply show up. We all need a place to pray. Put yourself in the right place to get closer to the presence of God, because life is harsh and messy and noisy, and there's so many voices in our culture that are just constant, absolutely constant. So we all of us need a quiet place to get away. We're going to have a clip now, which it's a Specsavers advert. It's one of my favourites, and it illustrates something of this. It's really short, so we're going to watch it twice because it's only 30 seconds long. And the second time, listen carefully to what the two people say at the very, very start.
That's better. So crowded.
Noisy too. Got a cheese one.
It's nice to take the weight off your feet.
What sort of cheese was that?
Can we now have the beginning of it again, please? So listen carefully to the start.
That's better. So crowded.
Noisy too. Got a cheese one.
It's nice to take the weight off your feet.
Thanks. Maybe it's not easy to cut off, I don't know. This is so good. Thanks. They say, that's better. It's so crowded, noisy too. And it just reminded me of the way in which it is can be difficult to get away from the noisy torrent of voices and opinions in which we're immersed and say, like that lady, it's nice to take the weight off your feet, because God will take the weight in the room of the shut door where we can pray as we can. And we need to orientate ourselves to the fact that we're in the presence of God. Now, obviously, God is with us all the time because he's God. But when we deliberately show up, this is a special time in his presence. That's why Jesus says, when you pray, go into your room, close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. This then is how you should pray, verse 9, our Father in heaven. Now, the first time Jesus said this, his audience would have been shocked. Jesus is using the word Abba here for Father, and it's one of the closest relationships, so this was new. And he's teaching us that in prayer we come as children to a heavenly Father. Now, some of us struggle to accept this. Isn't it all a bit too matey? But notice that Jesus also says he is our heavenly Father. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. To hallow means to make holy, high, lifted up. We're saying we have a holy regard for the person of God himself. He is the one whose name is his character. As it says in Psalm 138, I bow down towards your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. God's glory is paramount. So the intimacy of our Father is set side by side with the fact that God is in heaven. So before we even come to any requests, we recall that we're in the presence of the one who is high and lifted up, the God of all creation, the name above all names, great and all powerful. We declare God is all sufficient and intimate. And so we are encouraged to bring all of ourselves and even our tiniest concerns before him. Because not only does he care, he can also do something about it. Praise helps us in allowing this great truth to sink in. Take the weight off your feet. Look to him, because we cannot carry the world on our shoulders. The burden is too great. It's too much. So look to God first, and you'll know you're in his presence. When it comes to praising God, at the start, the Psalms are the go-to place for me. Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the works of his hands. Psalm 107, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. A song of praise at the start of a prime of prayer really helps. When we pray on our own, we can sing or listen to recordings. When we gather as church, like this morning, we always have songs of praise to open our worship services. Song worship will be the first thing on our agenda at the half night of prayer tomorrow. We will spend the first 30 minutes in song worship, appreciating that we dwell in his presence as we focus on the Lord God Almighty. At the waiting room this Wednesday, we'll dwell together in the presence of God in silence. And that's another vital weapon in this spiritual battle, that as we are quiet before him, we can hear his voice. And sometimes it takes a while for those other voices to be still, and we have to give it time. And so that space is provided on Wednesday evening. These are a vital part of the spiritual battle. We push back the darkness as we acknowledge that Jesus is Lord. Verse 8 of this chapter from Matthew tells us that God knows what we need before we ask him, but he still wants us to ask him. And this is where the gap comes in. It's about praying, your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Because let's face it, the world is in a terrible mess. And God is looking for a people who will draw to one side with him, who will stand with him in prayer, in the places where there is no defense against the enemy, the spaces in the spiritual realm where Satan has a controlling stake, the places that are in need of God's mercy, grace, of his healing touch, of his peace, of his freedom from fear, of his love, and we pray the name of Jesus over them, as we were doing in that song earlier. May your kingdom come, Lord Jesus. In Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 29, God makes this plea to his people. The people of the land, he says, practice extortion and commit robbery. They oppress the poor and the needy and ill-treat the foreigner, denying them justice. I looked for someone among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land so that I would not have to destroy it. But I found no one. Aren't we prepared to intercede, to cry to God for this nation and for the nations across the world, to allow the enemy no foothold and to change the face of history? Not only do we pray to God as a father for ourselves, Jesus tells us to pray our Father. It's not just my Father, it's our Father. This is a corporate act. We are called to pray on our own, but also together, in small groups, in large congregations, across nations and continents, we pray to our Heavenly Father the prayer, Thy Kingdom Come. Think about the areas that you're interested in, and then use those to see how God can use you to plug the gap. I realized that since retiring, I developed an interest in politics. And then I thought, well, how can I use this interest? And I do quite a bit of reading around it. And I realized that God wants me to pray for these people. I discovered there is that CARE actually do a prayer group for politics that you can join online. So there are different areas. We might be this week on the card. I'm doing schools as my places for God's blessing. Think about what your interests are and links, and use those to begin praying for God's will across the world. I wonder if you could have the clip once more, Marion, please.
That's better. So crowded.
Noisy too. Got a cheese one.
It's nice to take the weight of the thing.
What sort of cheese was that?
So our looking to God is rather like taking the weight off our feet. And then the couple start to eat their cheese sandwich. And it's when they do that that things really begin to take off. So at this point, we're moving into what it means to be exercising faith in praise and persistence. Last week, we heard about how feeding on scripture gives us sustenance for the discipleship journey. And it also shapes and feeds our prayer life. So the couple eat their cheese sandwich, and we daily receive spiritual food from the Word of God. And as we do that, the other voices die away as we enjoy the food. Now, I hope that you've managed to download the app for Thy Kingdom Come. Each day, under the section of prayer journal, we find there's a different way of praying. And on day one for Ascension Day, the Archbishop of Canterbury speaks about using the Bible to pray. And this resonated with me. And I remember once on a quiet day with two other ministers spending some time praying the Bible. And at the time I was reading in the book of 1 Samuel about King Saul, how he went wrong and became such a disappointment, and how the King of Integrity, Israel's second king, King David, would shortly replace him. And as I read, I felt God saying to me that a colleague I was working with was like Saul, yet there was a better king to come. And it was a shocking thing to comprehend. And I think I might have thought that maybe I was imagining it, if it hadn't been for the fact that when the three of us got together to pray that day, one of the ladies said to me as we prayed, she believed that God was giving me a gift of prophecy. And in the days to come, it felt like a huge responsibility to pray into this very difficult situation and ask God for his will to be done, his kingdom to come. I really felt, as I noticed and spotted things about the situation and brought them to God in prayer, that I felt like I was on that roller coaster. And it was taking my breath away and what God was doing, but it was not an easy ride. When it comes to exercising faith in prayer, praise makes a huge difference to seeing God's kingdom come. One of the things I love about praying with others here in Malvern is that we have a significant number of Pentecostal prayers. In the Pentecostal tradition, claiming God's promises is inherent to making requests. They might pray something along the lines of, Lord, this situation is a mess, but your word says, etc., etc., and quote a biblical promise. It's the but here that's the key. This situation is a mess, but you say, Lord God, this person who prays like this is exercising faith in a God with the power to change things. It's saying, we want to see your kingdom come, your rule and reign coming in power, and we want and we know that you have promised to do X, so God, we trust you to answer. And these amazing prayers believe in persisting. I've just learned so much from people from the Pentecostal tradition, both in London and here. It's like Jacob at the ford Jabbok in Genesis 32. These people won't let God go until he's blessed them. Bishop Tom Wright says that all of us are called to confront the reality and power of evil with the reality and power of kingdom announcement. As we quote scripture, that's about kingdom announcement. It's what God says about the situation. And in so doing, we stand in the gap until your will is done, your on earth as it is in heaven. And when we commit ourselves to praying together, praying in God's kingdom, we find a greater depth in his power at work amongst us. It's the prayer that prays, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, is actually committing themselves to a roller coaster of a spiritual battle. Not much different from those people on that roller coaster. It's a battle in which we know, though, that God has the victory and we will land in a safe place. And so engaging in warfare becomes very much about God's power and his prophetic voice. And when we engage in this warfare, we're not praying from a distance. We're fully involved in the shaking of the heavens that sees God move in power. Praying releases God's power in miraculous ways. It's a privilege to be involved in this work. The prophecy I mentioned earlier about Saul and David did come to pass. I look back and think, what was it in that cheese sandwich that was my Bible reading for the day? And I'm awed that the daily bread of God's work can be so powerful in its effects. As we stand in the gap, we'll see God bringing in his kingdom, more of his rule and reign in our lives, and also in the lives of those for whom we pray. So can I encourage this week, can I encourage us all to pray like we've never prayed before, thy kingdom come. May heaven touch earth so that more of God's kingdom breaks in here where we are. May we know more of his presence moving in power amongst us. And may God's will really be done on here, on this earth, as it is in heaven. Amen. Let's pray together, shall we, for a few moments. Lord, teach us to pray. It's the request of the disciples in Luke 11. And Jesus said to them, when you pray, say, Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Take from us any fear that we have, any boredom, any frustration, any lack of vision for what you are able to do when we pray. Help us, Lord God, to stand in the gap, to pray for a needy, grieving, hurting world, a world that you love so much that you came to die for each person here. Give us that heart of love that we might pray as you did to see your kingdom come. Help us not to walk by on the other side, not to cover our eyes and our ears and to be oblivious to the voices that are needing our prayers. Lord, may this week be a significant week for each one of us as we learn to pray with the Master Prayer who lived a life of prayer. Amen.